So Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 62. Matthew 27 and 62. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive that after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me." Please be seated. Our text for this morning begins with the telling of how these chief priests and Pharisees, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, go together to Pilate to beg Pilate to guard the tomb where Jesus' body had been placed. Not only did these hypocrites fear Jesus in life, but apparently they feared him no less in death. Jesus was a threat to these Jewish leaders. He was a threat to their positions of power, and he was a threat to their hypocrisy. And so while Jesus was alive, they labored to snuff him out. They plotted to put him into the grave. And now, while Jesus lay in the grave, these same hypocrites plot how to keep him there. Verse 66. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. They sealed the stone and they set a guard. They made the tomb as secure as they possibly could. In other words, these hypocrites did all that they could do in order to keep Jesus in that grave. However, their best efforts, as we know, were in vain, for the grave could not and would not hold on to the Son of God. No man could keep Jesus Christ in the grave, for ultimately no man put Jesus Christ in the grave. No man took his life from him. In fact, not even his heavenly Father snatched his life away from him. Rather, Jesus laid his life down of his own accord. He had the power and the authority to lay it down, and he had the power and the authority to take it back up again. And that is exactly what Matthew has recorded for us here in this morning's text, the power-filled resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. And what an awesome display of power and authority his resurrection is. For the power of the grave to hang on to those who enter into it. How many people do you know who have succumbed to death and descended into the grave, that have ever returned from the grave. Of all the loved ones and acquaintances that have gone on before you to in death, how many have returned to you? Of all those generations of forefathers who came before you and from whom you have descended, is there any of whom the grave has loosened its grip? Oh, the power of the grave. Rightly does Solomon speak in his song of the fierce jealousy of the grave. The fierce jealousy of the grave, for the grave simply will not give up those who belong to it. For just consider that of all the countless multitudes of human history that have passed from life to the grave, how very few have been shaken loose from the tenacious grip of the grave. And even those few exceptions would not be delivered but by the power of Jesus Christ. Lazarus, for example, Jesus' friend, was 4 days in the tomb when by the power of Jesus Christ, by the spoken command of Jesus Christ, Lazarus came forth. And yet Lazarus, like all the rest, had to eventually return to the grave. Though for a short time, the grave was persuaded by the power of Jesus Christ to release its grip on Lazarus, eventually the grave would hold Lazarus once again. Oh, the fierce jealousy of the grave. Oh, the power of the grave to hang on to all those who enter into it. But oh, consider then, brothers and sisters, the power of our Redeemer. Our Redeemer who overcame both death and the grave. And it is the power and the authority of Jesus Christ in resurrection that Matthew, I think, is trying to impress upon us with his accounting of this angel here in the first few verses of chapter 28. Again, verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like that of lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." Oh, the awesome power of the angels. Oh, the awesome power of the angels. These immortal heavenly creatures are tasked with seeing the will of God done in His creation, and they have the power to see it done. What an army to have on your side. What an army to have at your command. The army of all the heavenly hosts of angels. And that is exactly how Jesus Christ is betrayed in His second coming. Matthew 25 and verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne." Oh, what an expression of the power of the Son of Man, that when He comes again, He will come with all the angels with Him. Oh, what an expression of the authority of the Son of Man, that He commands the angels, that all the angels serve Him, that all the angels of heaven exist to do the bidding of the Son of Man. Matthew 13 and verse 41, "The Son of Man will send His angels." He will send His angels. Notice they are His angels, for they belong to Him, and He commands Him. Commands them. "The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Or Matthew 24 and verse 31. "Again, He will send out His angels, this time with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His elect." They will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, what an expression of the power of Jesus Christ, that all the angels serve Him to do His bidding. And here in the accounting of his resurrection, we see this angel whose coming is accompanied with a great earthquake, this angel whose appearance is like that of lightning. Have you ever tried to look directly at lightning? This angel whose very presence has caused these guards to tremble for fear of him and to be still before him as though dead men. This glorious angel has come for the express purpose of bearing witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, the authority, oh, the power of our Jesus, power more than all the angels that exist to serve him, and power to defeat death and overcome the grave. And not only for himself does he do this, but for all those who are in him. Revelation 1:17, when I saw him, Christ, says John the Revelator, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Here is one to whom sinners can come, and here is one in whom sinners can trust. For the wages of sin is indeed death, brothers and sisters, but Christ Jesus has defeated death and has conquered the grave. And therefore, in him, and in him alone, sinners like us can live, can forever live. For Christ has the power. He has the keys. For he descended into the grave so that he could rise again from the grave, flinging death's door wide open. He's gone inside to get the keys and has come back to us now, that in him we can place all our hopes of eternal life. Only the risen Christ Jesus can raise dead sinners from the grave unto eternal life. For only Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades, having himself succumbed to both death and grave, only to defeat death and to conquer the grave. If you place your hope for eternal life in Jesus Christ, you will not be put to shame. For he has the power and the authority to raise you up again unto eternal life, and he has promised to do just that for all those who are in him by faith. By faith. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, and they do. And they do. So what is to be our response? What is to be our response when confronted with the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, one might ask, what is the counsel of this heavenly angel to these women here who are at Christ's empty tomb? Verse 5. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. First of all, do not be afraid. What is to be our response when confronted with the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, to not be afraid. Again, this angel has come for the express purpose of bearing witness to these women that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. He is bearing witness to the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ, for no man or woman actually witnessed his being raised. What these women did see, thanks to this angel, was the empty tomb. That is why the angel rolled back the stone. Not so that Jesus could be resurrected, but because Jesus had already been resurrected and he wanted these women to bear witness to his empty tomb. But an empty tomb itself does not answer the question of why. Why is the tomb empty? And so God sent this angel this angel who had witnessed the resurrection, to bear witness of the actual resurrection. He is not here, for he has risen. There is the explanation for the empty tomb. He has risen. And then this angel informs these women that they need not be afraid. And why? Why are these women to not fear? Well, there are four reasons why from the text. First, again, verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid for, or because, I know that you seek Jesus. You need not be afraid because I know that you seek Jesus. You need not be afraid if you seek Jesus. For those who seek the Lord will find Him. Those who search after Him with all their heart and with all their soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. Those who seek Him shall praise the Lord. Psalm 22:26. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 34:10. Those who seek after the Lord have reason to rejoice. Psalm 105:3. And so seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Psalm 105:4. These women need not fear, for they were seeking Jesus. How about you? These women need not fear, for first of all, they were seeking Jesus. Jesus who secondly was crucified. Jesus was crucified. Again, verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. These women need not fear, for this Jesus whom they sought was crucified. Crucified for them. Crucified for their sins. Jesus Christ was crucified to death to deliver us from our sins, from the penalty of sin, having endured for us the full wrath of God for our sins. Our sin, you see, is the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15. Our sin is the sting of death. It is the power of death which the devil wields to accuse us, to get us condemned to death. But Christ on that cross suffered in our place. He suffered for our sins and therefore has removed our sins from us, thus disarming Satan who would accuse us. Hebrews 2:14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself, Christ, likewise partook of the same things that through death, that through His death, He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Fear not. Fear not. Fear no longer. You who seek after Jesus, for Christ Jesus was crucified. And by His sacrificial death, He has removed the power of death by removing the penalty of sin from us. The penalty of sin. But as well, Christ through His sacrifice has removed the power of sin. Through the cross, our Redeemer has delivered us as well from our bondage to sin and the flesh, and has granted us to walk now according to the Spirit, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And so fear not, brethren. Fear not, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might now be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Fear not, for this Jesus whom you now seek was crucified. And thirdly, these women are not to be afraid, for this Jesus whom they sought was crucified, and He has risen. He has risen. Again, verse 5, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for He has risen, as He said." Perhaps the only event in all of history that rivals the death of Jesus Christ in significance is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it is equally necessary if we are to be saved. As the Apostle Paul has put it, 1 Corinthians 15:17, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." If Christ be not raised, you are still in your sins. For if Christ be not raised, as He said He would be, then He is the charlatan that the hypocrites feared. If Christ be not raised, then He is not the Son of God that His resurrection proves Him to be. If Christ be not raised, then all power and all authority, including the authority to take His life back up again, does not belong to Him. And He is not the divine King of glory. And if Christ be not raised, then His sacrifice for our sins was not acceptable to God, and therefore was no sacrifice at all, but itself mere vanity. But fear not, brethren. Fear not. Do not be afraid, for He has risen, and therefore He is proven to be true, proven to be divine, proven to be the beloved Son of God in whom the Father is well pleased, proven to be the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so fear not, for He is risen. And finally, one more. These women need not be afraid, for this Jesus whom they sought, who was crucified and resurrected, is full of love and compassion for them. Notice here, Jesus sent the angel to bear witness of His being raised, and the angel has done as Jesus commanded him. He has told these women all they need to know, and yet Jesus nonetheless appears to these women almost immediately after they depart from the angel. Jesus just cannot help Himself. Jesus offered no additional information when He appeared to these women. He basically reiterates what He had already given to the angel to speak, and yet He just has to appear to these women. He has to appear to Mary, this one who sought Him with such devotion, to comfort her and to encourage her. In her obedience. Notice it is while they were running to do as they were commanded that Jesus appeared to them, to strengthen them and to comfort them. Quickly they departed with fear and great joy, we are told, to do as they were commanded. They ran in obedience. They ran the path of obedience to tell His disciples. And Jesus here meets them in their obedience. Jesus was there on their path of obedience to comfort them, to comfort Mary, this one full of devotion who now runs quickly the path of obedience. And so let us learn from these women, brethren, to not hesitate in obeying our Lord, but to run to run the path of obedience, to follow close behind our Savior, wherever He might lead. For there is no path of obedience, no matter how hard it is, no matter how dark it seems, that He will not meet us on to comfort us and to strengthen us. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they are a comfort to me. Jesus is full of compassion and care for His sheep, and therefore we need not be afraid. So the first response to the reality of the resurrected Redeemer is to not fear. You who seek Him, do not be afraid. And second, the second is to come and see. To come and see. Again, verse 5, but the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come and see. Come and see the place where He lay. Come and see. Come and behold. O sinner, let these words be a gracious invitation to you as they were to these women who stood before His empty tomb. Come and look. Come and look upon this One who was crucified and raised again. Come and look. Come looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Come and see. Come and behold. Come and look. Come and see the Word of God who took on flesh. Come and see the Lamb of God who was for sinners slain. Come and see the empty tomb, the place where He lay. Come, you Thomas, and put your finger here and see My hands, and put out your hand and place it in My side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Come and see and believe. O sinner, fall at your Savior's feet and confess with the rest of us Thomases, My Lord and My God. Come and see. Come and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And I guarantee you the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Come and behold Him, born the King of Angels. Come and behold Him crucified between two criminals. Come and behold Him, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, who, after making purification for sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Come, come and adore Him, Christ, your Lord. Do not be afraid. Come and see. And thirdly, go and tell. Go and tell. The third response to the reality of the resurrected Redeemer is to go and tell. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come and see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell. Go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see Him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell His disciples. Is this not good news, brothers and sisters? That the One who died for our sins has been raised up for our justification. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God Himself who justifies? Who is to condemn us now when Christ Jesus Himself died for us, and more than that, was raised up to the right hand of God as the judge over all, including us, and even now He is our advocate there interceding for us? Who could possibly bring a charge against us that would stick? Those of us who are in Christ Jesus. These are the rhetorical questions of the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, the unspoken answer to which is, of course, no one. No one is left to condemn you if you are in Christ Jesus. So go and sin no more. Go in peace and rejoice. Rejoice in reconciliation with your God. Rejoice in so great a salvation. What was the first word that Jesus spoke to Mary and the other women in verse 9 when He appeared to them? Greetings? KJV has all hail. I like that. It is a common greeting in the Greek. The word is rejoice. 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 Rejoice, for it is finished. Rejoice, for if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Rejoice in reconciliation with your God. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us back to God. We have been brought back to God, reconciled to Him. Oh, brethren, we have great reason to rejoice. Great reason to rejoice in this so great a salvation. And such joy as accompanies so great a salvation simply cannot be contained. It will burst forth in praise, and it will burst forth in proclamation. It is just a rule that the more we rejoice in Christ, the more we spread the good news of Christ. That is what David declares in Psalm 51, verse 12, where he prays to the Father, Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Fill me, Lord, with the joy of your salvation, and then I will teach sinners your ways and they will turn. They will repent and be saved. Fill me with the joy of your salvation and I will go and tell. And I will go and tell. Do not fear. Come and see. Go and tell. And finally, what is to be our response to the reality of the resurrected Redeemer? Well, what was the immediate response of these women when Christ first appeared to them? Verse 9. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings, rejoice." And they came up and took hold of His feet and worshipped Him. They took hold of His feet and they worshipped Him. And it is the same for His disciples in Galilee. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. What is to be our response to the reality of the resurrection of our Redeemer and King, but to come and adore Him, to worship Him, to fall at His feet, and to worship Him? For worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. And how much more we who by His grace have been saved. Hail Him who saved us by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Crown Him the Lord of life who triumphed over the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and who forever lives that death may die. Amen.